We started something last week, and I want to pick this up once again here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. And it says, so as much as in me, Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Of course, he was a prisoner, you know, for the gospel's sake. In verse 16, Paul said this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we said last week, Christ is not Jesus' last name, like Joe Smith, you know. Christ means the anointed one, okay, and his anointing. So it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the anointed one. Okay, that's not taken away from that verse right there. For notice this, for it is, say it is. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now notice it says in verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, the Bible, the gospel doesn't just contain the power. It is the power. It is the power. You know, people today, we talk about atomic energy, and that's probably one of the most powerful energies that exist in the earth today. But there is something more powerful than atomic energy, and it's the power of the gospel, the Word of God. Amen? And so we're going to spend a little time in the next few weeks talking about the gospel and the power that is in the gospel. What we just experienced a few minutes ago when Walt was sharing about his healing with his arm, his shoulder, and then his knee is nothing more than the power of the gospel at work on the inside of him. The scripture tells us that God sent his word and delivered them from all their destructions. In Psalms it says God sent his word. And what happened? The end result was he delivered them from all their destructions. Notice it didn't say, and I was reading this one time and it just caught my attention. God didn't send healing. He sent his word. Amen? God didn't send provision. He sent his word. Amen? See, God always deals with his word first. Because the author, if you go back upstream where it all starts, the word of God is the author of all these things, amen? Your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, your provision for your life, it's all comes from the Word of God, amen? And the Word of God produces, even though it's spiritual, it produces something in the natural, amen? Remember that scripture in John chapter 1, and I'll just kind of talk a little bit here, all right? But John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, amen? Gee, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? So the Word, which was spiritual, took on a natural form in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that? Through the virgin birth. And what was in heaven, what was spiritual, now became manifest in the natural. Amen? So the Word has the ability to become flesh. And that's where we, you and I live, right? In the natural, in the flesh. Just pinch yourself. So I'm in the flesh. Okay? See, we're in the natural here. But, you know, in heaven, the Bible says that these things that we are trusting God for, they come from heaven. They're in the spirit realm. The Bible says we've been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. But they start in the spirit realm and they become natural. I don't want to get ahead of myself too much here, but notice in verse 16 again of Romans chapter 1, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of Christians, nobody in here, of course, that are ashamed of the gospel. Amen? Now, I believe we need to use wisdom with people and things like that. We don't need to blast people out of the water, you know, and turn them off and offend them and stuff like that. But there's different ways that God will give you wisdom how to get the gospel inside people where they're not going to turn you off. Amen? Yeah. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Amen? Now, Muhammad couldn't say that. Buddha couldn't say that. Or any other guru couldn't say that. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Yeah. So I always remember that when I'm talking with people that the power is in the gospel. It's not in how souped up I can have my personality or try to influence someone. It's not that at all. It's the pressure. We put the pressure on the Word of God, on the gospel. Amen? Recently, I was sharing with someone that was doing some work in our house, you know, and a few weeks ago. And they started asking me questions about things of, you know, what I do and so forth. And so I just asked him, answered his questions, basically. He ended up giving his heart to the Lord right there in my front yard, on my front bench, right in my front yard. Amen. But it took all the pressure off me because all I was sharing with him is what the Bible already says, the gospel. Amen. I said, do you know that Jesus loved you so much that if you were the only person on this earth, God still would have sent Jesus to die just for you. He said, really? I said, absolutely. He'd never heard that before, you know. And so I just shared a couple of scriptures with him, the gospel, amen? And his eyes were beginning to open. So I said, look, would you like to experience what I told you my testimony happened when I was 16 years old? Because that's what he asked me. He said, tell me more about what happened to you when you were a teenager. I said, I'm glad you asked. That's just like an open door. I said, come in and tell me how to get saved, you know. That's exactly what happened. Right, Lynn? And it was the easiest thing in the world. It was like cutting butter. It was so smooth and so easy, you know. And I was just so blessed by that because it's the gospel that changes people's lives. If the gospel, now think about it like this. If the gospel, which is the good news, will change a person's eternal destiny, whether you're going to heaven or hell, that'll change your destiny from going to hell to going to heaven, right? I mean, the gospel blasted hell out of you. I mean, just annihilated hell out of, because that was our nature. Sin was our nature. It just blasted it right out. And now we're on our way to heaven right now. Praise God. And if you were to check out right now, none of you are going to do that right now. Amen. You're staying here. You got a job to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if the gospel has the power to knock hell out of us, then you know the gospel can knock sickness and disease out of us. Amen? I'm telling you, the gospel is the power of God. Amen? And it will knock out sickness. It'll knock out poverty. It'll knock out shame. It'll knock out your past. I'm telling you what, and give you a brand new beginning. Isn't that wonderful about God? He gives you a brand new start, a brand new beginning. Because see, we remember things we did, you know, B.C., right? I remember I did that. Oh, I did that. But the power of the gospel has enough power in it to just wipe out your past as if you never had a beginning. It's kind of like this. You ever go into a hospital before where the maternity place, where they give children being born? Okay, I probably said it the wrong way, but that area where kids are born, right? In the hospital. And you look through that window there. I remember when my son was born, our first child, you know, and I look through that window and there's about four or five babies laying in there, you know, and wouldn't it be crazy if somebody looked through that window and said, what an awful past they have. That poor kid, what an awful past. You say that, you know, their elevator doesn't go to the top. You know, something's wrong with them, right? Because they don't have a past. They were just born. Well, see, when you're born again and Jesus comes into your life, God says, all right, it's a brand new beginning. A brand new start. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that word new creature means a new species that never existed before. So, I mean, think about it. A person can be a serial killer. You know? I'm serious. And they can come to Jesus and have their past wiped out. Now, they might spend the rest of their time in jail in the flesh. But see, God, because that's something in the flesh they'll have to pay for, you know. But God will still forgive that person. Right. Yep. Amen? Amen? I say, boy, that just sounds too good to be true. No, it is true and it is good. That's the power of the gospel. Amen? Amen? Okay, where are we here? In verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want you to say this with me. I am not ashamed, of the gospel. Okay. Now, we know that the word gospel, we looked at this last week. And I looked it up in the Greek, and it means this. Most of you know this because you've been around long enough to know this. But actually, I read it myself instead of just quoting what someone else said. I looked it up myself, and it means this, glad tidings, good news. And get this, the last one is exciting news. Exciting news. We all have in our local TV stations here in Pittsburgh and along with other cities, we have our local news. They should really call it the local bad news or the 6 o'clock bad news, because all they're shown is bad stuff that's going on. Good news doesn't make news. Bad news does. Bad news sells, okay? Even if they have to lie about it. Isn't that true? But see, gospel, when the gospel's being preached, it's good news. Go over to Acts chapter 14 again. I want to pick up where we left off last week here in Acts chapter 14, and I want to show you a scenario of a guy that was crippled that never walked before. This guy, the devil had made him, put him in a position where he was crippled, where he had never, ever walked. And I want to show you a progression here. Now, before I read this, I want to say this, that when we read a particular account in the Bible, we're not just filling in the gaps, you know, to take up time so we have a, quote, sermon today, okay? This is a real life example of someone that was, this guy was a cripple. This guy really was true. This happened, okay? And let's see the progression of what happened here. In verse 6 at Acts 14, 6, it says, and they were aware of it, and they fled to Lystra, to Derbe, to Lycaonia, and the regions round about. This is Paul and his group here. This is actually in Galatia, okay? And so, verse 7, notice, here's what I want you to see here. It says, and there they preached the what? So Paul and his company, they go into the regions of Galatia, which is Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, you know, for those people that want to know about regions and stuff like that, all right? So he was in this place called Galatia, and he wrote a letter to the Galatian church. But I want you to notice in verse 7, it says, they went to Galatia for the first time, and it says, and there they preached what? The gospel. They didn't preach Reader's Digest because it didn't exist then. Yeah. Amen? See, I grew up in a church, a mainline traditional church, that at least when I was there, the pastor would read more out of the Reader's Digest than he would the Bible. I mean, he was like an orator. He'd get up there and just pull out the Reader's Digest and read a story about, I remember one story talked about a dove, you know, and I was like, what's this have to do with anything? I'm just a 12-year-old, 10-year-old kid. I'm like, what's this have to do with anything? Well, it says that Paul preached the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news, glad tidings, exciting news, okay? And it says in verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a crippled from his mother's womb. So this is a more description of what this man had never walked before. Now picture in your mind's eye, this guy, he's a grown man, never took a step in his entire life. Pretty destitute, isn't it? Do you think this guy was depressed? I mean to tell you, he had some things. But see, this man had found his way somehow into Paul's church service in Galatia. Probably an outdoor meeting or something like that. Somebody told him, said, you know, we need to get you. And that's what's so powerful about the power of influence. You stop and think about that. You know, somebody or something influenced you to even come here initially, right? If you go back in the Genesis word, it all started here with this church at least. There is some person influenced you or you heard information or whatever, and now today you're in this room right now, right, hearing the gospel. Somebody influenced this man to go sit in Paul's meeting. Now, what happened in verse 7? Here's the progression. Paul preached the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings. In other words, the exciting news. And verse 8 said, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a crippled from his mother's womb, who, notice this, he never walked. There was no first steps for this baby. Okay? He never had walked. Verse 9, the same heard Paul speak. Who's the same heard? The guy that was a crippled, right? He heard Paul speak. What's the Bible say in Romans chapter 10, verse 17? It says, so then, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. Okay? When you hear the Word of God, which is the gospel, faith comes to you. A spiritual force called faith comes to you and gives you the ability to believe what is being preached. Do you know that? God gives you the ability to believe what is being preached. Someone says, you know, there's a lot of phrases that, and I've asked the Lord to help me with this too, because, you know, sometimes we get addicted to phrases. And for example, and I used to say this all the time, something good would happen. I said, I can't believe that. Now, have anybody here ever done that before? I can't believe that. Now, there's power. Words are powerful. How many of you know that? The Bible says death. In Proverbs, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Where they're speaking death words or life words. Words are containers. They go out into this realm of the spirit, and they're either working for us or working against us. If we say things like, you know, nothing ever works for me. I mean, I get one bill paid, another one comes. You know, the car breaks down, oh, and then the refrigerator breaks down. You know, nothing ever seems to work for me. Ha, 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 ha. People laugh about that. But let me tell you something. Your words have everything to do with that. So if you start changing your words, death and life are in the power of the tongue, you say the opposite of what we've been used to saying. We speak life words. The Bible says that His Word, God's Word, is life to all and medicine to all of our flesh in Proverbs chapter 4. His Word is life to those that find them and health and healing, medicine to all their flesh in Proverbs 4:20. God's Word is spiritual, but when we speak God's Word, it produces a life energy called healing in our physical body. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, some of you are looking at me like a dog at a new pan. Like, can I trust that? I went out on my porch this morning, you know, and let my dog out, and then my cat went out, you know, and I went out to let the cat in. I went down, and Lynn, this is the first time she's heard this morning, so. The cat's at the bottom step on the deck, and there's a deer down there, and they're about this far apart from each other, and they're just looking at each other. Look like you're about to kiss or something, you know. Nothing happened. The deer went away. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? My wife loves that cat. I'm praying for her. Hallelujah. You know, by the way, you know, this Thursday, we're celebrating 32 years of marriage. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks for putting up with me for 32 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Just had to throw that in there. Where was I here? This man preached the gospel, or Paul preached the gospel. This guy. His name's Paul, by the way. All right, verse 8 says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent at his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never had walked. Verse 9, here's where we were in verse 9. It says, the same heard Paul speak. What was he speaking? He was speaking the gospel, preaching the gospel, right? Notice verse 9, it says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, Paul perceived, he had a spiritual perception that he had faith to be healed. Isn't that interesting? The preacher had a spiritual perception that this guy was getting it. Amen? And I know exactly what he's talking about. I know exactly what he's talking about. Because when you're preaching the Word of God and people look sad and bored and tired, they're not getting it. Let's just be honest. Amen? When I hear good news and it's good news, I'm like, Oh, yeah. Amen. And faith starts to rise up on the inside. Some people treat the good news like bad news. Amen. But see, Paul had to have been preaching something about healing here, or this guy would have never had faith to be healed. Mm-hmm. You know, if Paul got up there like a lot of people and say, you know, I just graduated from seminary, and I've learned a few things, and It took me 4.5 years to learn nothing. Got my certificate from seminary. And I've come to this conclusion that healing has been done away with the last apostle. You know, the people that preach that and believe that. Healing and miracles have been done away with. And when the last apostle died, they want the miracles with it. Well, I got good news for you. The last apostle didn't die. Because Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's still alive. Amen? So this guy was sitting there listening to what Paul was saying. Paul was preaching the full gospel of not just salvation, deliverance from your sin, but the power of God, that Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. And then he's probably quoting out as Isaiah 53, that who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live in a righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. Peter quotes that in 1 Peter 2:24. He's quoting Isaiah, all right? By his stripes, say that. By his stripes, I am healed. And Paul was preaching the full entire gospel that Jesus took your sins on that cross. But he also, prior to going to the cross, he went to that Roman whipping post that we talk about. And he took 39 stripes on his back. And the scripture says that by his stripes ye were healed. Now the power of God is displayed when we believe that. Okay? You see, when you believe that, that releases something on the inside of you. And not be analytical. I'm telling you, we live in a country that's so steeped in being analytical and trying to figure everything out and trying to filter everything through their education. Listen, sometimes you got to put that education aside and say, this says it, this Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, praise the Lord. Amen. Instead of trying to figure everything out, amen? There's a lot of stuff that you do in this life that you don't know how it works, but doesn't hinder you from using it. How many of you drove a car here this morning? Okay. Now, how many of you have full knowledge of how that thing operates? Well, don't be a smart aleck now. You understand what I'm saying? But it didn't hinder you. It didn't stop you from getting in that vehicle, turning it on, and heading out here to church this morning. Some of you drove a long way. Amen? My sister Pat and Peg, you drove, what, about 50 miles? Something like 50. Char, you drove about the same distance, about 50-some miles to church. Who ever heard of driving 50 miles to church? Oh, praise the Lord. A church alive is worth the drive. Amen. Amen. Listen, we don't live in horse and buggy anymore. You know? And I'm telling you what, when I first got saved, I could care less how far I had to drive. If there was a church on fire for Jesus, you know, this is back in the 70s, I'm getting in my car. I don't care if it takes me 2 hours to drive there. I'm doing it. Because my spiritual life and my spiritual sustenance is all tied into that message. I don't care how long it takes to get there. Yeah. Amen. If God's called me to go there, I'm going to go there. Praise the Lord. But notice that Paul preached the good news, the gospel. He had to be preaching that Jesus is not only a forgiver, but a healer. Or he would not have had faith to be healed. Now, Paul, in verse 9, the same heard Paul speaking steadfastly, beholding him. Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. So there was a spiritual perception that this man had faith to be healed. Now, here's something very interesting. This is a crippled man who has faith to be healed, but he's still crippled. How do you figure that one out? This man, Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed, but he wasn't healed until Paul said with a loud voice, he wasn't quiet about it. He said, stand up on my feet. And he just had enough sense to just jump up, you know. He didn't say, you know, Paul, I've never walked before in my life. I was born this way. You know what I'm saying? What do you mean make me walk? I haven't walked a step in my life. What are you talking about? He was just dumb enough to believe the preacher. Yeah. And just, all right, I'll try. So he started to put his arms, and I'm sure to get up, you know, and all of a sudden the power of God shot through his legs, and he jumped up. And he leaped, and he ran, and he walked for the first time in his life. Isn't that wonderful? Paul preached the gospel. Did he not? There's power in the gospel. Now, I want to encourage you today, because every one of you here, we're going to see this in Mark 16 in just a minute here. We've all been called to preach the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all preachers and evangelists and pastors, okay? But Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. Every one of us here are commissioned to share the gospel with people. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Now, how do I do that? Listen, your life is preaching. There's an old Chinese proverb that I heard years ago that says this. This isn't the Word of God. This is a Chinese proverb. But it sounds good. And he says, they said this, what you are speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. Now, when that lady at Panera Bread, the manager, one of the managers over there, came up to me and she says, I have to tell you, in all these years I've worked here, I've never seen such a nice group of ladies, okay? What were you doing? You were preaching the gospel. Amen. Amen? Isn't that encouraging to know that? Amen. Just letting your light shine, just loving on people. Hallelujah. And that's attractive because the world doesn't have that. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By what? By the love that you have one towards another. That's how Jesus said, this is going to be the chief sign that everyone's going to know that you're disciples, by the love that you have one towards another. The love that we share with each other and how we treat each other is a huge, major witness to the world that's out there.
That's good.
Are you with me? Oh, that excites me. Praise the Lord. My goodness. I'm about to run down and slap Walt 5 and come running back here. Right? I'm telling you, man. It's got the wrong shoes on for that. But I'd slide into you. Amen. Where was I? Verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. Whew. And steadfastly, he behold and perceived that he had faith to be healed. Said in verse 10, he said, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped up and walked. Now, we'll not read the rest of the verses there because of time's sake. But I want you to see the gospel, if it's not good news, it's not the gospel. Are you with me? Go real quick to Luke chapter 4 again. In Luke chapter 4, I think I bypassed that. In Luke chapter 4, so what is the gospel? It's what?
Good news.
Good news. All right. What's good news to a sinner? They can be forgiven, right? That's good. Anything else? Good news to a sinner is you're forgiven. Okay? Jesus forgave your sins. Hallelujah. That's good news to a sinner. Now, notice something else here in Luke 4 and verse 17. There was delivered unto him, that's Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it's written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. Notice that word gospel. What is the gospel? It's good news. Exciting news. To the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. See, God will not only heal your broken body, but if you've been brokenhearted, you know, and you came up and none of us came out of perfect environments, I'll tell you that right now. But I'll tell you, there are more people that are brokenhearted in this earth today, in the United States today. There's more people that are brokenhearted than they are have broken bodies. Okay? What do you mean by brokenhearted? I mean, they've been wounded in their soul, wounded in their spirit, rejected, treated badly. Many times people came up in an environment where there was drugs or alcohol involved, you know, and there was tremendous unfortunate things that took place, you know, abuse that took place, verbal abuse that took place. And there are some people, I've talked to people through the years, and And it's heart-wrenching to see and to watch. But Jesus is the healer of our emotions as well. Jesus can heal us emotionally. Maybe you had some bad stuff happen to you. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I had some bad stuff happen to me when I grew up. You know what I mean? And without going into great detail, it took a toll on me, some bad stuff that happened to me. All right? I remember we had these, when I was probably 12, 13 years old, and we had just moved to a certain area in Pittsburgh, you know, and there was a family that moved across the street from us. And I mean, this was like the family from hell. And they had like 7 or 8 sons, okay? And I mean, it was Devil Junior, Devil Senior. These kids were absolutely bullies and just ridiculous, you know. And I mean, just so filled with the devil, you know. And the one older son, he actually had and I thought, this is great. We've got some guys moving into the neighborhood, you know. I mean, I'm telling you what, it was a whole different scenario. I was so naive, you know. And one day I'm over there and we're supposedly having a good time. And they had a police German shepherd. There was a police German that was trained to attack people, okay. And I go over there and I just bought this Hawaiian shirt. Okay? You know those Hawaiian, they're like silky Hawaiian shirt. Don't laugh at me now. But it was cool, and I was kind of showing it off to these guys. Look at this shirt I just got, you know. This silky shirt, short sleeve, you know, like something you'd buy in Hawaii. This is when they first came out. Well, I'm over there enjoying myself, supposedly, and I hear the older brother look down at the dog and let go of the leash. He goes, sick him. He said, sick him. I said, hello. I'm thinking, this happened so fast. And that dog, before I knew it, that dog was on top of me, ripping and tearing into me, man. He, you know, bit the side of my head, my ear, and his, I don't know if it was his claws or his, you know, I don't know what it was, but it was something sharp. But it tore my shirt from the top to the bottom. Just ripped that new shirt that I had, you know. And I mean, blood is flowing down my face, you know. And finally, he goes over there and jumps on top of the dog. And I'm thinking, what in the world? You told him to sick me. And he did. He let go of the leash and he attacked me. Okay? Well, that made an impression on me in more ways than one. Well, me being naive and stupid, I went back over there a month or two later, and I thought, they're being nice to me, they're treating me good and everything, and all was well, you know. Well, they lured me into the house, and they started pushing me around. They locked the doors, you know. Then they threw me in one of their basements. They threw me in there and shut the door, and then they pulled a double-barrel shotgun out and pointed it right at my face, okay. I'm not saying this to say feel sorry for Pastor Keith, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, had some stuff happen to me when I was 12 and 13 years old. And this is a loaded shotgun, okay? You know, you kill deer with these things. You know what I'm trying to say? And I knew the hand of God was on me because he got me out of that situation here. They were just nasty, so filled with the devil. Well, you know, even before that happened, I was about 7 years old.
Oh, here we go.
And we were living in the city. And where we lived in the city, there was a train track that was on top of this. There was a road that went underneath. There was a bridge, you know, and there was a train track. And, you know, cars would go underneath it. It was real high up, you know. And I just see the hand of God was on my life protecting me. And I had these things happen. It was like devil inspired these people to attack me when I was just a young guy, you know. And so I was with a friend of mine, and we're on top of this tunnel. We're looking over, and we're all high up, and I thought, this is so cool up here. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, out of these wooded area here, came about 6 or 7 big teenagers. I mean, seniors, juniors in high school, you know. And here I am, you know, probably 7, 8 years old, something like that, you know. And they just came out, just like lions. They just came right out of the woodwork, you know. And they walked right over towards us. They didn't have a smile on their face. And And then one kid comes up to me, and the kid, my friend that I was with, he was a little small. He was a little bit younger than me. He was probably like 6. And he goes, boom, he hit me so hard. I flew back and just about fell, you know. And then they told us to take our clothes off, okay. I was petrified, okay. And so I took off running. I don't know what happened to my friend there, but I took off running. I mean, I'm running as fast as I possibly can. Now, on the side of the railroad tracks, you got these big rocks, you know, that are placed there on purpose, you know, for support for the track and so forth. You know about that, Brother Dan, you know? I don't think Dan was on that train that day. I didn't see any trains. But you talk about angelic protection. This kid picked up a rock, and he threw that thing. I heard it whistling. That's how fast it was going. And I was running as fast as I possibly could on this little trail to get away from that, you know. And so as soon as they told me what to do, I just took off running, okay. And that rock was flung. I heard it, shh, and it hit this tree right next to my head. It was the same height as my head. Bam, it hit this tree, and it fell down. And I narrowly escaped. I got out of that place, and they never came. I don't know if I was running too fast or what, but I mean, I made the roadrunner look small, slow that day. Now, I wasn't planning on saying all that, but I had some things happen to me growing up, some different things happening, you know, and you know what I'm talking about? And those things have a way of making an impression on you. I won't even go into the time that I wore my Cub Scout uniform to school. I'll never forget that day. You probably want to hear about it, don't you? I can tell. Okay. Yep. Yep. I feel you pulling on me. Well, needless to say, I joined the Cub Scouts when I was young, all right? And there's this one particular week, the scout leader, actually the den mother, I think they call her, She goes, I'll tell you what, guys. She goes, we're going to wear our uniforms to school this week. I was like, this is so awesome. This is tremendous. You know, that yellow handkerchief, you know, the blue hat, the badge, the blue uniform. I could not wait for that day to come. I'm telling you, I was so excited. I woke up early that morning, and I'm like, I'm wearing my scout uniform. A junior, you know, I was in, I don't know what grade it was. 12. Yeah, not 12. I wasn't shaving yet, okay? And I tell you, it was like every demon in hell just jumped on me that day. Now, I don't know what happened to the other kids, because there was other kids that were, you know, in the same school that I was. For some reason, they didn't wear their uniforms that day, but I did. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but it was like every single kid in that school just like, not literally, but they jumped on me with that. And I'm telling you, they tormented me, and they started calling me Cub Scout. And for a couple of years, man, hey, Cub Scout. I thought to my parents, dear God, why did you ever put me in this thing, man? You know, in Cub Scouts. And, man, I can laugh about it now, but I'm telling you, when I was going through it, it was no laughing matter. Because I was the point of it. I mean, it was like the guy they put the sticker on the back says, kick me. He might as well have done that. You know? And I thought, I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm tired of bullies pushing me around. I'm telling you, bullies will come out of the woodwork and just nail me. One guy came up to me one time and just sucker punched me in the face and knocked me down. You know, that's the kind of atmosphere I grew up in, you know. And I thought, dear Lord. But it wasn't until a few years later I began to realize that I had some scars on the inside of me because of that stuff. You know what I mean? I had some reservations about things, you know. And you know, I didn't know that this was going to happen, but these things happen. But see, there are people that carry these scars and stuff from from when their childhood and they're growing up, and even maybe more recently, things that have happened, people say words that are cutting and that are hurtful. There's no truth to them whatsoever. Amen. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So in other words, those that have been wounded in their soul and in their mind and in their emotions, Jesus came to restore that. Okay? And I find that a lot of times when God heals a person emotionally, then their body just falls in line too. Because they're carrying all this stress. They're all tightened up, all bound up. You know what I'm saying? But when you let go and you realize the power of the gospel, man, when you realize how much God loves you and how much God cares for you, and I want to say this as a representative of God, of Jesus Christ today. The Father loves you so much. Okay? I know that sounds like ABC. All right? But let me tell you something. The Father loves you. He is in love with you. Okay? And that love and knowing that love frees you up. You don't have to impress anybody. You can just be yourself. Huh, the Father loves me. I don't care if 50 people reject me. I don't care anymore. I really don't care. Not in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what they think, you know. No, not like that. But it's just, I know the Father loves me. If someone doesn't love me, that's okay. That's all right. But the Father loves me. And that produces a security on the inside of us. When you know that the Father loves you and He sent His Son to die for you and paid the price for all of your sins, you realize, I'm accepted. The Bible says in, was it Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, right around there, it says, we are accepted in the Beloved. Whoa. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Isn't that basically what all of people are looking for is acceptance? They're looking for love and they're looking for acceptance, you know. And people will go to nth degrees to find out. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. When I was, can I tell you one more story here? Well, when I was in my teenage years, we were, there's a lot of peer pressure and stuff like that, okay? And there was a friend of mine that I was able to lead to the Lord in high school, junior high school, actually. And we started serving the Lord together, okay? And we're like in 10th grade, something like that, 11th grade. It got more intense. We started serving the Lord. We started having a heart for people that didn't know Jesus. We wanted to get the gospel. Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. And as the Lord leads, I'll share this story sometimes because there's a point to this story. But there's a lot of competition if you remember in high school and junior high school, people are trying to fit in. Which group do I fit in with? Are you with me now? And at least when I was in high school, it was like you had the athletes that sat over in this section, okay, and you had the brains. People that were smart, they would sit over in this section. Are you with me now? And it was categorized. You know what I mean? Nobody, there was no signs on the table, but you go in the lunchroom and all the smart people sat over here. All the athletes would sit over here. And then the losers would sit over here. You understand what I'm saying? And it angered me because I was saved. I was walking with the Lord, and I began to realize this isn't right. Something's wrong with this picture here. Because just because someone doesn't have athletic ability doesn't mean they're an outcast. Or just because they don't make straight A's doesn't mean they're an outcast. And so you had this other group of people that are trying to figure out, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Peer pressure, right? And so we had this friend of ours. I'm not going to use his name to protect the innocent. But He was really struggling, you know. He tried the athletic realm and sports and things like that, but just wasn't real coordinated. But he started hanging out with these guys that were doing drugs, okay? This is in the 70s, all right, mid-70s. And we tried to reach out to this guy. He was a neighbor friend of ours, of the guy that I got saved with, you know. He was a neighbor friend. And I noticed that, from my observation, that he had full acceptance of the people that were partiers. Yes. Are you with me now? Yes. And so he thought, I've found my group. These are the people that I belong with. Now, this kid came up in a normal American home like everyone else. I mean, just totally normal, family intact, parents were still together and all this kind of stuff. And so he started hanging out with the wrong crew. And I noticed after about a year, it just went downhill, and it went downhill. And before you know it, he started experimenting with different drugs. And before you know it, he became an addict. He became a drug addict. And he was stoned every day that I knew he came to high school. 11th and 12th grade, he was stoned every day, every single day. And we tried to talk to him. He didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to hear it. And it was just, oh, there's got to be a way to reach this guy, you know, this friend of ours. And so he ended up, started dating this girl, you know. She was into the exact same thing that he was in, okay? And this went on for a year and a half to 2 years. We had just graduated from high school. Just graduated from high school in 1979. And I was with my friend that I led to the Lord. We came back from a beach trip, went to the beach after we graduated, came back, and I got a phone call from my friend. He just dropped me off at my house, went home. I got a phone call immediately from him. He says, Keith, you're not going to believe this. And he sounded real serious on the phone. He said, and he used his name. He said, so-and-so just died, him and his girlfriend, in a car accident. I said, what? What happened? Well, here's what happened. He went to a party that night. This was on like a Friday night. Went to a party that night, got stoned, got drunk, just intoxicated, and was on a particular highway here in Pittsburgh where the speed limit can get up to 55 miles an hour. And he said he was going a little too fast. This is what happened here. And there's a policeman sitting on the side of the road waiting for people to speed. You know, he turned his lights on. He starts to follow him, you know. Well, instead of pulling over, now he's just been to a party, he's drunk out of his mind, all right? He puts the pedal to the metal to try to outrun the police car. That's a dumb move, okay? See, he's not in his right mind, all right? And I'm going somewhere with this story, so you'll see what I'm talking about here. He put the pedal to the metal and went up to, they say he was doing about almost 100 miles an hour on this street. Lost control of the car, wrecked into a store that was along this highway, went through the glass and everything, and they were both decapitated, him and his girlfriend. Instantly killed. We went to the funeral home. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, people are wailing and crying, and kids our age, people we graduated with, just didn't expect this kind of thing to happen. Okay? And all I could do is just kind of shake my head and just pray in the Spirit. I just got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I walked out of there. I thought, God, there has to be a better way to reach some of these people. And what the Lord showed me was this, in that he said, Keith, it all came down to this. He said it was who he was rejected by and who he was accepted by. Okay? And what God was showing me was that it's our job as the church, as the body of Christ, is to show love and acceptance to people. That doesn't mean you condone everything that they do. All right? But what that means is that you show unconditional love to people by the way that you treat them. And that unconditional love is the love of God. Because Jesus loves us unconditionally, right? The Bible says he loved us while we were yet sinners. Okay? While you didn't do a blasted thing, he loved us. Amen? And I'll never forget that as long as I live. I don't know whether or not he was saved or not. I don't know that. I don't know. But he and his girlfriend left the earth that day in 1979. And I don't know where they're at. Okay? There was no evidence that I can see that they came to Christ, but I'm not the judge. God is. All right? But it came down to this one thing. He was wounded emotionally. He experienced rejection. And so he gravitated to some people that seemingly accepted him. That's the job of the church. Amen. I don't care how sin-stained people are. I don't care what kind of background that they have. Our job is to reach out and love those people and let God clean them up. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not our job to be the Holy Ghost, Junior. It's not our job to clean people up. Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit's job to help people, right? But our job is to love people. Amen? My goodness, where'd the time go today? Verse 18, and we'll close here. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. What's good news to a poor man? You don't have to be poor anymore. You don't have to be there anymore. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery, sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want to release you today with this. Jesus said, actually, kind of interesting, Jesus found himself in the Scriptures. He was reading Isaiah 61. He was quoting Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty them that are bruised. And that's why they got so mad and they wanted to throw him over a cliff right after he said this, because he said, Isaiah is talking about me. Jesus found himself in the Scriptures. Now, when Jesus left this earth, he said in Mark 16, he says, now you go and you preach the gospel to every creature. Right? In Mark 16, it says, it's our job to go and minister the good news to people. Amen? One day I was, I'm glad I didn't stop and think about it, but sometimes if you premeditate something, you'll talk yourself right out of doing something. I was at a bus station one time, and we were living in Texas, and there was a bunch of rough army guys that were stationed there. They were getting ready to get on a bus and go their way, go back home for a little short season, you know, and I felt like the Lord didn't hear it up here, but I heard it inside me, go over and share the gospel with these guys. And I'm thinking, these guys could put me down in one split second. I mean, these are big, muscle-bound guys that are in the army and everything. They just look brutal, mean, you know. But I went over there. I didn't know what I was going to say. But I walked up to them. I said, hey, guys. And they had their ghetto blasters there and everything. I mean, they're just getting into it, you know what I mean? And they looked at me like, where are you coming from? I go, hi, guys. And I said, have you heard the good news? Now, that sounds kind of corny. But the Lord anointed it. I said, have you heard the good news today? I said, man, what's going on? What good news? I said, let me tell you. It was like God just gave me a boldness, you know? And this is what I'm going to pray for before we leave here. God's going to give us a boldness to preach the gospel to ourselves, to believe the gospel ourselves, and to be that bold witness that we're called to be. Sometimes we need to be bold with ourselves. You look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you're healed by his stripes. Now act like it.
Amen.
Amen. Look at me in the eye when I talk to you. So I took the liberty and I said, have you heard the good news? I didn't say, have you heard the good news today? I said, have you heard the good news today? I was excited about it. And honestly, I did not know what I was going to say next. I really didn't know. But that's when we lean on the Holy Ghost. We lean on the Holy Ghost. Say, I lean on the Spirit of God. Well, I said, there was a man named Jesus. This is the essence. I said, this only took 30 or 40 seconds for me to do this. I said, there's a man named Jesus that came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He died a sinner's death on the cross, nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. He died and he went to hell for me and for you and for the whole world. I said, our only job is to believe that, and you will be saved from your sins. And if you were to leave this earth right now, you go directly to heaven. Make no mistake about it. You don't have to be like, I sure hope so. I hope. No, you can know. And you need to know. We need to have full knowledge. I know where I'm going when I leave this earth. There was about six or seven of those guys. I said, would you like to receive this Jesus who I'm talking about? I said, yeah, man, let's do it right now. And every one of those guys, those big guys, bowed their heads right there at the bus station in Killeen, Texas, and prayed and received Christ right then and there. It so surprised me. It shocked me. Because I was like, wow, I'm not used to this happening. But I said all that to say this. God is going to give us today a fresh boldness. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about a boldness, a confidence, and boldness. That what's inside of us, the world needs. The world is love hungry. They're starving for love. They're starving for a Savior. They're just looking at all these other places. They think, well, if I could just get enough money, then I'll be happy. No, 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 no. If I can just have enough women, have enough relationships, no, that's not going to make you happy. It's Jesus who they're looking for. Amen. This big void that's on the inside of every human being. This big void. The only thing that can fill that void is Jesus. He's the only one that can fill that void. Amen. Linda, why don't you come on up here, and I'm going to pray. Join hands with me, and we're going to pray for all of us here that we're going to pray for a new boldness, an anointing, and a strength to be able to communicate what's already God has done on the inside of you. Now, listen, you may not know all the Bible scriptures and all this. You can be just like the guy in the Bible that says, the only thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. And that's all that you need to know. I was blind, but now I see. And if you're excited about what's happened on the inside of you, that is a platform. You don't have to go to Bible school to figure this out. You don't have to know five chapters of the Bible. All you have to know is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So, here we go. I want to pray for you right now, Lynn and I. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this church, this precious people in this church, Lord. You've called us, Lord. First of all, you anointed us. You put your light on the inside of us, not just to keep it for ourselves. We're thankful for it, but you gave it to us to give to other people. And Lord, I pray, Lynn and I, we pray right now for each one of us for a fresh, fresh anointing and the ability to communicate the gospel in our lifestyle and in our words. And that, Lord, you would open up doors this week, Father, for us to share, to plant a seed, to put a thought, however you want us to do that, to share the gospel with people. And we ask you to send us as laborers, Lord, into your harvest, this great harvest field that we're living in right here, Father. Oh, we're so thankful for it. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I feel like I just ate a full course meal and I can push myself away from the table, you know? Praise the Lord. Look for, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open. God is going to give you opportunities this week, maybe even after the service here today. Okay? You can just be going about your business and going into a store somewhere and God just gives you an opportunity to say, you know, Jesus loves you. Do you know that? You know, it's just that simple.